Well, the God of angel armies is by our side. Amen. I think about a story out of the Old Testament where the Assyrian army was coming up against Jerusalem. And that Assyrian army was a very powerful army, and they absolutely ravaged some other parts of Israel. And the king cried out to God, and God sent one angel, and 180,000 Assyrian soldiers were slain by one angel. The God of angel armies is on our side. We shouldn't fear. Amen? Amen. That's not the sermon, but I thought it was a good thought. So anyway. I want to piggyback off of what Jeff preached on last week. Jeff did a good job preaching on the power of the Holy Spirit, us being clothed with power from on high. Were you here last week? If you were here, raise your hand. Okay. Good to see you back. I tell you what, it was a lot of ground to try to cover in one sermon of preaching on the Holy Spirit. And so it's not that Jeff missed something last week. I just felt like I needed to go back and we needed to maybe revisit an area of the Holy Spirit, in particular the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of Jeff's sermon, if you'll remember, if you were here, you raised your hand, that Jeff asked the congregation if we wanted more of that power in our lives. And it blessed me that just about everybody in the congregation stood up and said, yes, I do want more of that power in my life. I need more of that power in my life. And then he gave us some homework. Did anybody get their homework done this week? Remember the red slip of paper? On the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, and Jeff encouraged us to meditate and study on the Scriptures more about the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does, what He provides. Here's some things that He provides. He provides peace and power and truth. He provides encouragement and growth. He matures us. He sanctifies us. He purifies us. He's our counselor. He convicts us. He's our teacher. He's the giver of gifts. He intercedes to the Father for us with groanings too deep for words. He brings glory to God. He builds up the church, and we receive more of Him by asking in faith. And so, with the challenge last week for us to stand up and say, yes, I want more of that power in my life, and plus the opportunity to meditate on more of God's Word about who the Holy Spirit is, I guess this is a fair question to ask. How was your week? Was it any different? Did you go out and raise anybody from the dead this week? Did you lay hands on the sick and have them recover? Did you cast any demons out of anybody this week? Because see, church, I'm convinced that we have a power in us that we have no idea the depth of. We have no idea what God has done for us by placing the Holy Spirit inside of us. And He had no other plan but to do that. And we need to embrace that. Now, nobody raised their hand about raising anybody from the dead this week. I'm not being facetious. My goodness. What would happen if we allowed the Holy Spirit to fully use us? Let me ask you a few more questions. Since we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit this morning, and those fruit are, be good for everybody to memorize, they're love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Did you see any more of that fruit in your life this week? When you said, yes, Lord, I want more of the Holy Spirit, did you see more of that fruit in your life this week? Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And before I do that, let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for your love for us. I thank you for this fellowship. And Father, I know there's so much more, God, of you that I'm experiencing right now, Father. And so, God, I just want to know you more. Father, I think this church wants to know you more. And I pray that you help us this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit to deepen our walk with you, to come to trust you more. Lord, just to have you come and wash over us and just set us free in some areas, God. We desperately need you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I don't know if you ever thought about this or not, but everybody in this room is a fruit producer. Everybody in this room is a fruit producer. And everybody really that has ever existed that's ever lived has produced some type of fruit. Let's look at Romans 7, 4 through 6. This will be on your screen. It's the NIV version. It says, "So my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who raised him who was raised from the dead, that's Jesus, in order that we might bear fruit to God." So if we're in Christ Jesus, we have the opportunity, we have the ability to bear fruit unto God. And I'm going to call that bear fruit unto life, because he talks about a fruit that's people bear unto death. Verse 5, "For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death." So everybody that's ever existed has borne some type of fruit. Fruit for death or fruit for life, which is fruit to God. "But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit," excuse me, "and not in the old way of the written code." So everybody in this room produces some kind of fruit. And there's a uniqueness, and it's almost like it's a curse that we as members of the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit living inside of us, since God has chosen to leave that sin nature in us, I don't know why he did that. It would have been a whole lot better for Billy Crimm if he would have just pulled that thing out of there and have his presence come in. But I don't understand how absolute holiness can just rub right up against absolute, you know, wretchedness of the sin nature. And we have the capacity to bear both kinds of fruit. Now, if we're not in Christ Jesus this morning, if you don't know who Jesus is this morning, if you've never given your life to Christ, man, what a great day to do that. What a great day to do that. And I've been there, and the only fruit I could bear at that point was fruit unto death. And that was it. But since the Spirit of God lives inside of me, I have the capacity to bear both types of fruit. Let's look at Galatians 5, 16 through 18. Thank you, Lee. "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." So there's this, as we all know, there's this conflict going on inside of us. The sin nature wanting to produce sin unto death, and the Holy Spirit bearing fruit through us. I don't know if it's us bearing the fruit or the Holy Spirit bearing his fruit through us. Because Jesus said, "I am the vine, you're the branches, abide in me and you will bear much fruit." I don't really know how that works, but there are two types of fruit we as believers in Christ have the capacity to bear. Now, I've got a pecan tree in my front yard, a really nice Burkitt pecan tree. And that pecan tree bears pecans. Some years the pecans are good. And 2 years ago, we sold them, and we got rich, made $80 for selling the pecans off our tree. This year, the pecans were terrible. They were bad. They were not good. But us bearing two types of fruit, it's not really the same fruit. It's not like we bear just pecans. It's like my pecan tree bearing both pecans and walnuts. Or you have a tree that bears fruit. The fruit it bears is apples and oranges. I mean, we have that capacity. God help us to bear two types of fruit. Let's look at this fruit that produces death. Let's pick it up in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. It says, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious." These should be obvious to us. "Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery." And this is an ugly list, church. "Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." I believe God's word says if that is our consistent pattern of living day in and day out, then more than likely Jesus Christ does not live inside of our heart. Now, again, this is a really ugly list, and I'm almost certain most of us aren't involved in some of the things on this list. But I'm looking at things like selfish ambition and envy. Those little things that aren't quite as bad of a sin as all the rest of them. Dissensions, factions. That's the fruit that brings death. Now, let's look at the fruit of life, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Again, a great list to memorize. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, or let us walk with the Spirit. So these are the things that the Holy Spirit is either we produce, or he produces those things through us. And that's a whole lot more of a desirable list than the first one that I read. So we're all fruit producers. We all have the ability to produce the fruit of death. Us in Christ Jesus have the ability to produce the fruit of life. Now, I want you to take out your insert. If you haven't taken copious amounts of notes up to this point and you've got a little bit of room left on those, I want us to list out. Sometimes it helps me to get things in front of me, okay? What I want everybody to do, we're going to list out the fruit of the Spirit on the left-hand side of the page. You can go ahead and write up there a title, Fruit of the Spirit, or it's going to be a column on the left-hand side of the page, and then on the right-hand side of the page, it's going to be Fruit of the Flesh. The left-hand side, Fruit of the Spirit, right-hand side, Fruit of the Flesh, which is basically just the antithesis or the opposite of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we've got our two columns. Okay, on the left side of the page, write love. Right-hand side, under the fruit of the flesh, the opposite of love, write hatred. Left-hand side, write joy. The fruit of the flesh, depression or discouragement. Now, I understand as we write the word depression, I understand that there is a physical depression where people have to take and need to take medication for. I have a 35-year-old nephew, great young man, and if he doesn't take a pill every day, it's not pretty for his family. So understand that. I'm talking about a spiritual depression because I've seen God set me free from that, and I've seen God set other people free from that. So depression and discouragement as the fruit of the flesh. Fruit of the Spirit, peace. And then the other side, the opposite of that, is anxiety. Fruit of the Spirit of patience. And the opposite of that is being impatient. And the fruit of the Spirit of kindness. And the other side, meanness or rudeness. And the fruit of the Spirit of goodness. And the opposite of that would be being harmful or harmfulness or being vindictive. And then the fruit of the Spirit of faithfulness. And then the opposite of that is lack of faith. And then the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness. And the other side, harshness or roughness. And then the last one is self-control. And the other side is lack of control. Now, I categorized the fruit of the flesh we looked at in the fifth chapter of Galatians. All of those 10 or 12 or 13 things fall in the categories we've discussed. So we've got two lists. We've got the fruit of the Spirit on one side, and we've got the fruit of the flesh on the other side. Now, if we're not in Christ Jesus, okay, again, the only fruit that we can bear is the fruit unto death. And so it is our bent to have our life resemble what's listed on the right side of the page. And I've been there. And the struggle for me is I really didn't like myself being on that side of the page, and I didn't like the things that were absent in my life, like the joy and the peace. And so what I did, I was a child of the 70s, and I've shared that with you before. You know, man, I was a mess. And so because my flesh, all I could do is bear fruit unto death, I was seeking peace and joy, the things that only God could provide. And so I did that through medicating myself with illegal drugs and alcohol. And we see that in our culture today. And it's not just that. It's other things. I mean, money, we try to tie ourselves up into anything that'll give us peace if we're not believers in Jesus Christ. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, if you look at the left-hand side of the page, I'm thinking, who in the world would not want those things on the left-hand side of the page? And that's what Jesus Christ came to give us life and give us abundantly. You know, when I got saved in 1981, God just radically transformed my life. Praise God. He really did. And, man, I was on fire for the Lord. I loved Jesus with my whole heart. I think I loved, I don't know if I loved him too much, but anyway, I just did some dumb things. I just did some things that made people mad, and I told people they had cable in their house, they were going to hell, and, you know, but I had a good heart about it. I really did. But you know, man, God just lit me up. And all these things that were absent in my life for years, all of a sudden I had them. And I didn't know how to manage that. But it was awesome. And so I was working real hard for the Lord. And I'm just going to be honest, I was the most faithful guy in our church. I was there every time the doors were open. I'm not boasting, I just was. I mean, I was there every time the doors were open. I was serving as a deacon on all the important committees. And something shifted about, oh, I don't know, 1986, 1987, I started to lose that passion. And then it was about 1989, I found myself in a position where I was absolutely in despair, and I was depressed, and I was suicidal, and I hated life. I literally hated life. And I hated anybody that didn't hate life. But Carlene used to irritate me to death because she loved life. And you know, I didn't want to get out of bed in the morning because I knew I was going to have to face another lousy, stinking, rotten day. And if I went to bed that night, I knew, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up in that cycle. I don't know if you've ever been there, but that cycle just continues and continues and continues. And I was in a spiritual depression. And I didn't know what to do other than to call out and cry out to God to set me free from that. You know, Jeff, last week he said, if we need more of the Holy Spirit, this is out of Luke, we ask. And I didn't know what to do but ask. And I started reading the book of Acts, the first time I'd ever been there. And I noticed that the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. And I knew joy is exactly what I needed, one of the fruit of the Spirit. And I just started crying out to God for it. And I think maybe that asking is more than maybe just one asking. Because I asked for two or three or four weeks. And I've shared this in church before. I was driving down the road one day, minding my own business, and God answered my prayer. In a powerful way. Amen. And so I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden I just feel this joy. I don't know if I've ever felt it that deep. And I pulled on the side of the road, and I was weeping uncontrollably. Joy. But you know what? The enemy was trying to rob that joy from me. And he did a great job of it. Now, was I responsible for me getting in that state? Yes, I made some probably pretty poor decisions mentally and believing the lie of his. But he was trying to rob that joy from me. And I've shared this again, you know, just even recently. I struggle with joy. You know, it seems like I don't know why I've got to fight for it. The other fruit seemed to come a little easier. Like I'm a pretty mellow guy, so it's easy to be gentle when you're mellow. It's easy to be kind when that's how you're wired. But joy, I've got to fight for it. But let me tell you, the reason I fight for it is because it's mine. Jesus died so I can have joy. And the Holy Spirit's inside of me so I can have peace. And that's why I fight for it, dadgummit, because it is mine for the taking. I don't deserve anything but God's wrath and His judgment. But because of what Jesus did for me and because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, gentleness is mine, goodness is mine, kindness is mine, faithfulness is mine. And I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to fight for it. And you need to fight for it too. If you're in Christ Jesus, that is yours for the taking. The devil is a liar. He's a liar. I don't like him very well. I don't know about you guys, but he gets in everybody's business. Life would be a whole lot easier if God would just go ahead and send him to hell for eternity. But that's not going to happen for a while, God's Word tells us. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want us to spend a little bit of time in prayer. And Terry, are you or Clay going to come up? One of y'all? I'm going to get Clay to just play through some instrumental music. And here's what I want to do. I'm almost convinced this morning that if you're a believer in Christ here this morning, that maybe perhaps you're not experiencing all the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe there's some fruit of the flesh that just kind of rears its ugly head on occasion, or maybe just for me it just kind of weaves in and out of my day. I don't know if that makes sense, but you know, I'll have a thought about somebody and that I'll just have hatred in my heart towards them, and I know that's not right. But for me it just kind of vacillates back and forth like that. And some of you may be caught up like I was and just, you know, just anxiety, constant anxiety. Man, the cares of this world. The parable of the sower, you know, the seed was thrown out on soil that choked the life out of that particular person that embraced it. So there may be anxiety that's been going on for a while. So I'm convinced that God wants to set people free this morning from those things that are holding us back on the right side of the page. So here's what I want to do. I want you to just look over the list. And if you are struggling with any area of the fruit of the flesh, and you are not experiencing what God wants you to experience through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you, it may be one item, it may be four or five. I'm going to ask you, if that's just you, I want you to feel the freedom to stand up and just say, look, I'm struggling. I've got hatred in my heart towards somebody. I've got anxiety. I'm impatient with my kids. I seem to be rude when I don't want to be rude. I've got a vindictive nature towards a particular person. I struggle with my lack of faith. I'm harsh with people and I'm rough with people when I should be gentle. And I don't have the control that I should have. I want to control things, not have self-control. Anybody else? And if you're not standing, God bless you. If you're in a great place this morning, that don't feel guilty. Please don't feel guilty about sitting. That's awesome. That's awesome. Great place to be. Again, we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit again. We asked last week. We're going to ask one more time for him to come. Okay, I'm going to pray for us corporately, but what I want you to do, just right where you're at, I'm going to walk you through an example. Okay, if you've struggled with hatred in your heart towards somebody, I want us to spend a little bit of time of confession about that, our part to play in that. It goes something like this. Father, forgive me for hating so-and-so. God, I know that you have set me free so I can love that person, Lord. And I've been hating instead of loving. And so, Lord, I repent of that. And the enemy has gained ground from me because of my hatred towards that person. God, and I claim that back right now in Jesus' name. I declare that love is mine because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. That's an example of prayer. Y'all just take a couple of minutes, and if you need to confess anything, y'all spend some time in confession and repentance. And I'll pray for us. one of our church members come to the office this week that said she was really struggling with things on the right-hand side of the page. And we prayed with her. She confessed, and God set her free. It's really not that difficult. Now the rest of the praise team come up as I pray. Y'all remain standing. Let me pray over you. Father God, I just thank you for the power that resides in the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Father, we truly need more of you. I don't know if we want more of you, but we truly need more of you. And Father, I just pray for these people that stood. I pray that you honor their prayer, God. I pray that you honor their commitment to standing and not being ashamed of saying, "Look, I'm struggling with being all that you've created me to be, all that you've saved me to be." And so, Father, would you just move in hearts, and Holy Spirit, would you just set people free from their struggles, Lord, this morning in Jesus' name. In the strong name of Jesus, would you set them free from anxiety and hatred and discouragement, Lord? With maybe just being harsh or just rude, God, would you set them free from that, Lord? That's not your plan for them. So, God, we also want to claim back the ground that we've lost to the enemy collectively from struggling with those things. Him trying to rob us of those things that are rightfully ours because we live in you. So, Holy Spirit, would you just wash over them? I pray that your fruit just move. I pray that love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control just flood over them. It's a new day, Father. It's a new day, God, for the people of God. So, Lord, do the things that only you can do. And you do them so well. You do them so well. Oh, God, we love you. We trust you like no other. There's no one who loves us like you do. There's no one who gave himself up like you gave yourself up for us, Lord Jesus. And there's no more precious power than the power of the Holy Spirit that rests inside of us. Resurrection power is in us. So empower us to live like you've called us to live, Jesus. And we love you and we trust you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. So have everybody go ahead and stand and let's worship. If you want to pray with somebody about anything, I'll be at the front. Grab Jeff, grab any of the prayer people. And if you don't know who Jesus is this morning, what a great day. What a great day to trust him as your Lord. Let's worship.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me.
So take my heart.
Take my heart and form it. Take my
brokenness is what I need. Appreciate y'all putting up with me today. Like he had a choice. He didn't know I was preaching, but church, we are clothed with power from on high. We're clothed with power from on high. We need to walk in that power. And I encourage you just to keep crying out to God. Keep crying out to Him. If you have unresolved issues, keep crying out to Him. He's faithful. He is faithful. Go and be blessed and bless somebody this week in Jesus' name.
Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will.